We're in the third sermon in a series on walking in the footsteps of Jesus. 2 weeks ago, when we started the series, we talked about to walk in the footsteps, you need to heed the call to follow. You can't walk in someone's footsteps unless they're ahead of you. You can't walk in someone's footsteps unless you follow the same path. And we talked about the disciples and the need to be his disciple. And that there's a call and there's the cost and there is power. Last week, we talked about walking in the humility of Christ. In order to walk in someone's footsteps, you have to be like them. You have to have the same stride. You have to have the same, once again, go the same way. And God calls us to be humble. Well, I'll go my own way, then you're not following in his footsteps. Today, we're going to be talking about walking in the love of Jesus. Walking in the love of Jesus, and we're looking at 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 through 15. 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 through 15. Before we read God's word, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that you're the good shepherd. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for its truth. We thank you for its power. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We ask that the Holy Spirit have full reign here today. Lord, I pray that we would follow in your footsteps. I pray that we get on the right path. I pray that what you do, we would do also. And Lord, I just ask that you just bind Satan on our behalf, that you take away all distractions, and help your word not come back void, but do its purpose in our lives today. Amen. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here who does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. That they would experience your love of the cross that sent you to the cross. For us, Lord, help us to love you more, that we be more like you. Help us to leave this place changed, and we'll give you all the glory and honor because we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the what? Love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, on himself also so to what? Walk. Even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith, he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In way of introduction, there is five things that we need to understand about walking in love that will allow us to walk in his footsteps. The first thing we need to understand is in verses 5 and 6 is that God expects us to walk like this. It is an expected walk. He says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And we know that we are in him. And we're walking the same way. This is what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, where it's our reasonable service. There's a lot of things that God expects out of us because of what he's done for us. And we ought to do it out of love. We ought to do it out of humility. We ought to do it out of discipleship. So it's an expected walk. And verse 7 is an established walk because he writes here, he says, I write no new commandment. This has been God's plan from the beginning, that we walk in his love. And he says, it's an old commandment. Christ himself said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as thyself. On these two things hang all the law. It's an established law. The Old Testament saints did it. Christ did it as an example. We should do it too. We should follow him. And not only is it expected and established, it's also an evident walk. Other people can see it, and you know it exists in you. In verse 8, he says, this thing's been true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. We should have this light shine from us. It should be evident in how you interact with people. It says, he that hated his brother is in darkness even unto now. And when you're in darkness, you don't know which way you're going and you're stumbling. And God doesn't want us to stumble. He wants us to walk. So it's an expected walk, it's an established walk, it's an evident walk. And in verses 12 through 14, it's an encompassing walk. He leaves no one out here. He talks to fathers. He talks to children. He talks to young men. This is not for you and not for me. It's for all of us. We should walk in his love, and that's how we can walk in his footsteps. And it needs to be an excluded walk. You know, if you're married, you love your wife, you better not tell any other woman that you love her. You're going to get trouble. Vice versa. Verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if you love the world more than you love Christ, then you're not walking in his footsteps. You're not walking in his footsteps at all. So this morning I want to share three things about how to walk in love. And we can also see them in our passage this morning. And we'll give some additional verses that affirm these points. First of all, there's a command to love like Jesus. It says here, but whoso keepeth his word, okay? He that saith he abideth in him. That's following his commandment. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, this is a new commandment I give unto you. Now that correlates here in verse 8 in our text. John wrote the Gospel of John. John wrote the letters of John. And he says, this is the way it was, this is the way it is. In the way it was, love your brother. Love your sister. Love your neighbor. What it is now, love your neighbor. A new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, what? Shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Jesus commands us to love one another as he loved us. We know in the Bible that there's many words for love. There's agapeo, there's eros, there's philia. But in verses 34 and 35, it's talking about agapeo, loving like God, a sacrificial love. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." You know, in order to walk in His footsteps, you need to know where God's going. You know, need to know how He's going. And we're talking about walking in His love. We need to understand Christ's love in order that we can follow it. That we should be called what? The sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Jesus commands us to love one another as He loved us. Our love for others is a testimony to the world. In verses 8 through 11 of our text, it says there's a conflict. You're either in the light or you're in darkness. And if you're in the darkness, you're going to stumble. If you're in the light, people will see it. And who will see it? Your neighbors. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the what? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts." You can't think love. It has to come from the heart. And God deals with issues of the heart. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." Jesus commands us to love one another. You know if you are following that command or not. Jesus says that our love should be a testimony to the whole world. You know if other people see the love of God in you or not. And you know it too. And you know it too. So our love for others is a testimony to the world. It's time to show the world what true Christianity is all about. Not what they think it is, because they have their whole idea about it. We need to show it from the truth of God's Word. Jesus showed us the perfect example of sacrificial love. Last week He showed us the perfect example of humility when He washed the disciples' feet. And then He says, "Hey, if I've washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've left you an example to follow." And Christ has given us an example to follow. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, "In this was manifested or shown the love of God." 1 John 3, 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us." And it's all through Christ. "And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." There's no eternal life in anybody else except Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." Here it is, love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. You know, Israel got that backwards. At first, they started walking in God's footsteps, and they started following the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke. God had grace on them. But then later on, He said, "Hey, we did this." And they turned their back on God. We know better than what God says. Here it is, love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or payment for our sins. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Because of love God gave. Because if we're walking in Christ's footsteps, we need to give too. We need to give of ourselves. We need to give of ourselves. The command to walk in love, we need to follow the command to love like Jesus. Secondly, to walk in the love of Christ, we need to love unconditionally. The love of Jesus is unconditional. You know, what happens when you go to a restaurant or you go someplace and you smell something? And you go, "Ugh, That's terrible. And you want to get away as bad as fast as you can. Then you find out it's coming from a person. Stay away. He said, I don't want no part of that. I don't want to be around them. The nature of the unconditional love of God is that Jesus loves us when we stink. Amen. When we stink from sin. When we have a foul odor around us because we're doing our own thing and not following God. And our bodies are not a sacrifice to a sweet-smelling savor of Him. The love of Jesus loves us even when we are unworthy. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God commanded His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You need to understand this. That's the depth of His love. And it keeps on loving. We pick who we want to love and not love. And yes, for your spouse, that is one way. But we're supposed to love others as Jesus. And we don't get to pick. We don't get to pick. Christ's love never fails or changes. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 4, says this. It says, charity or love never suffereth long, is it kind? Charity envieth not. Charity bondeth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. You know what Christ's love shows? It shows the resolve of God. His love never fails or changes in resolve. Verse 8 says, charity never faileth. Sometimes we give up. I just don't love you anymore. The Bible teaches that with true love, you can overlook any fault, including infidelity. Christ said, because of the hardness of your heart, God suffered you to give a bill, a divorce. And he said, but in the beginning, that's not the way it was supposed to be. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to love unconditionally. It's hard to love some people because they're just unloving. But Christ's love never fails or changes, and our love for people should never fail or change. And it's not conditional. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, but God's love stands as a lighthouse forever. His love never fails or changes in resolve. That's how much God loves you. How much do you love God? How much you love God shows in how much you love other people and how much you serve other people. His love never fails or changes in reach. In Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, it says, for I am persuaded. Do you know this for a fact? Paul was convinced. We need to be convinced of the love of God. We need to be convinced that we're doing the right thing. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the what? Love of God. Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus loved us to the point of giving His life. And if you figured this out, walking in the footsteps of Jesus involves the cross. For us to become as His disciple, the cost of discipleship is Christ's life on the cross. In order to be humble like him, it all depends on the cross. It said last week, he says that he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He said, a man follow me, let him deny himself, take up his what? Cross. Follow me. The love of God points to the cross. Here is love. Now we first love God, but they first loved us. Jesus loved us to the point of giving his life. Everything about walking in the footsteps of Jesus is about the cross. We need to have the cross foremost in our life. It's one thing to wear it, it's another thing to live it.
Amen.
John chapter 15, verse 13 says this: greater love of no man than this, a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he said, ye are my friends if you do whatever I command you. The love of Jesus is unconditional. And our love for others needs to be unconditional too. Thirdly, we need to love others as Jesus loves us. We are called to love our enemies. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I think the greatest example of someone following Christ's love is the death of Stephen. In the book of Acts, Stephen, as a deacon, was doing great things for God. He was loving those he was serving. And he preached in front of the religious leaders about who Jesus was and that they crucified him. And it made the religious leaders, the Pharisees, go nuts. And they took him out and they started to stone him. And then he says, I see Jesus on the right hand of God. And he went nuts and they killed him. And as he's dying, he says this: lay not this sin to their charge. That follows Christ exactly. Because when Christ was on the cross, everybody was reviling and laughing at him and ridiculing him and everything else. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's an example of following, loving others as Jesus loved us. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 and 18 says, recompense no man evil for evil. If you've ever said, I'm going to get evil, you're not loving like Christ. I'm going to get my way. You're not loving as Christ. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, including your enemies, including those that persecute you. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, lie peacefully all men. The fault of not being able to reconcile is not yours. It's the other person's. And what we want to do at times, we like to blame someone else for the problem that we have in our lives. We can't do that. Christ did. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. There was no guile found in his mouth. We are called to love our enemies. Love is the fulfillment of God's law. Romans 13, verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the what? It's the fulfilling of the law. We say the song, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, my desire to be like him. All through life's journey, from birth to glory, my desire to be like him. You want to be like him, you've got to love like him. We must forgive others as Jesus has forgiven us. It is an attitude that we need to emulate as Christians. You know, the world's expecting that. Now, the world's got a warped sense of what love is. We need to love as the truth of God's word says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says this. It says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. It says, an attitude emulate. There's a parable that Christ talks about a king. And he had a servant that owed him a massive amount of debt. And the servant comes to him and says, hey, I can't pay this back. Have mercy on me. And the king, and the story goes that the king had mercy on him and compassion and forgave him all that debt. That ought to change that man's life. To be forgiven all that debt. It should have made him grateful for everything. You know, Christ gave his life for us, and I'll make us grateful to do everything. We ought to live a life of gratitude for Him. It's an attitude that we need to have. An attitude of gratitude. But you know, the story goes and he finds a fellow servant who owes him just a little bit of money. And he says, pay up. I got to go down to Wendy's by lunch. And the guy throws himself down at his feet and says, I can't pay right now, but I'll pay it all. Just give me some more time. And the servant that was forgiven all the debts said, No. You're going to pay now. I want it now. And had him thrown into prison. The king found out about it. And came to that one he relieved all the debt from. Say, hey, why did you do this? God looks at us right now and says, I have forgiven you all this stuff. Why can't you forgive someone else? Especially in the church. Especially in your family. Why can't you get forgiven? Why can't you do what I've done for you? It's an action that we need to experience. We need to actually do it. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also what? Forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Here's a principle. In order to get mercy, you got to be merciful. In order to have peace, you have to sow peace. In order to get forgiveness, you have to be forgiving. In order to be Christian, you have to be Christ-like. To walk in His footsteps, you have to be humble. You have to have love. You have to be a disciple. I want to be on the right side of this argument, not the wrong side. And we all need to be on the right side of this argument. We need to look to love. For us, the love is represented in the cross. It's represented in Christ. And we need to look at that. And we need to remind ourselves daily of all the things that Christ has done for us. All the things He's forgiven us of. Then we need to live it. We need to live in love. We need to look for opportunities to do that. So we can walk in His footsteps. But to look to love and live in love, you have to live in Christ Jesus. There are no imitations. People know if you love them or not. God knows if you're following Him or not. You know if you're a follower or a disciple of Him or not. This morning, let's all leave here right now. If you don't know Him as your Savior, today, understand His love on the cross is for your forgiveness of sins and for your eternal life, which is a gift from Him of heaven. For us, we call ourselves Christians, let's love like Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's not try to get evil. but let's shower love on them so people will see that we're good. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time, Lord. I ask for this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts. Father, if someone here does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Father, help us follow your footsteps. Help us to love as you love. We ask this name in Jesus' name. Amen.